Psalms 119, and we'll go to 161. Psalms 119, 161. I want to preach on this subject, praising on purpose. Praising on purpose. I love verse 164. We'll read 161 down through 168. I love 164. We're going to teach you to do what David made as a life discipline, a life habit. And so we're going to talk about this idea of learning to praise the Lord on purpose, or praising on purpose. Let's all stand for the reading of the Bible, Psalms 119, 161. Princes have persecuted me without a cause, but my heart standeth in awe of thy word. I rejoice at thy word as one that findeth great spoil. I hate and abhor lying, but thy law do I love. Seven times a day, think about this, seven times a day do I praise thee because of thy righteous judgments. Now, that doesn't mean that he just stops seven times a day and praises God for the word of God, but because of what the word of God contains, it motivates him to stop seven times a day and praise the Lord. Great peace have they which love thy law, and nothing shall offend them. Lord, I have hoped for thy salvation and done thy commandments. My soul hath kept thy testimonies, and I love them exceedingly. I have kept thy precepts and thy testimonies, for all my ways are before thee. Heavenly Father, you deserve more praise than you are getting. We know that because we listen to a world who not only do they not praise the Lord, but they're in the habit of multiple times a day using your name in vain, blaspheming your name. Lord, you deserve more praise than you're getting. Lord, I pray, dear God, that you would help us to learn to make up for a little of that. May we learn to be a praising people, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. And you may be seated. I was preaching a teen meeting, a teen rally here recently, and the man that was conducting the rally, they had multiple things going on before he asked me to come and preach. At some point in time, he stopped. There was about seven churches represented, maybe about 150 teenagers there, and he did something that at first I went, oh no. But he had the meeting going well. There was an excitement. There was all of this going on, and he stopped and he said, I'd like to hear teenagers give testimonies of praise. Tell me something wonderful about the Lord. Tell me something wonderful the Lord's doing in your life. Now, we're talking about a group of teenagers. And my misconception, and it proved to be a misconception, my fear, which proved to be unfounded, was he's going to stand up there for the next 5 minutes trying to beg someone to stand up. But I was so wrong. That group of churches had done a wonderful job in teaching their young people to praise the Lord. And I mean like popcorn. You ever been to one of these services where they have popcorn preaching, where young men get up and this was popcorn testifying. And I mean literally hands went up. A young man stood up, and he was probably about eighth, ninth grade, and he said, tears in his eyes, I was at a camp last week, and God called me into the gospel ministry. And he said, I just can't get over what the Lord has done. Please pray for me. And he sat down, and I'm going. And another guy jumped up, and he said, our church just finished VBS last week. And he spent about 2 or 3 minutes describing what they did. And he said, over 30 young people got saved at our vacation Bible school. Another girl popped up. And I mean, folks, this went on bam, 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 10 or 12. And finally, the man said, thank you ever so much. This has been a blessing. And then he went on to the next song. He had to shut it down. And I was thinking, don't shut it down. This is good. But it was a joy to be with teenagers, young people, that the minute they were given the opportunity to praise the Lord, they did not hesitate to do it. Folks, praising the Lord is important. Important. I mean, we could preach an entire message on the blessing and benefits that come from just praising the Lord. It's important because it's a command to praise the Lord. You know, we can go all through the Bible. I mean, I read every verse, every place. We're encouraged. Encouragement and examples to praise the Lord fills and overflows the Bible. There's 25 different times we find in the scriptures a four-word command, imperative statement, praise ye the Lord. 25 times you'll find that little statement right there. Psalms 106:1, praise ye the Lord. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endureth forever. Psalms 111:1, praise ye the Lord. I will praise the Lord with my whole heart in the assembly of the upright and in the congregation. Well, I praise the Lord privately. Well, David says I do it publicly. How about that? Psalms 112:1, praise ye the Lord. Blessed is the man that feareth the Lord, that delighteth greatly in his commandments. Then you get that Psalms 148, Psalms 149, Psalms 150. If you need to get energized to praise the Lord, go read those last three Psalms. Psalms 148, praise ye the Lord, praise ye the Lord from the heavens. Praise him in the heights. Praise ye him, all his angels. Praise ye him, all his hosts. Praise ye him, sun and moon. Praise him, all ye stars of light. Praise him, ye heavens of heaven, and ye waters that be above the heavens. Let them praise the name of the Lord, for he commanded and they were created. He hath also established them forever. He hath made a decree which shall not pass. Praise the Lord from the earth, ye dragons and all deeps. Fire and hail, snow and vapor, stormy wind fulfilling his word, mountains and all hills, fruitful trees and all cedars, beasts and all cattle, creeping things and flying fowl, kings of the earth and all people, princes and all judges of the earth, both young men and maidens, old men and children, let them praise the name of the Lord, for his name alone is excellent. His glory is above the earth and heaven. He also exalted the horn of his people, the praise of all his saints, even of the children of Israel, a people near unto him. Praise ye the Lord. Perhaps no other sin is more committed by God's people than our insistence on either refusing to praise the Lord or neglecting to praise the Lord. I mean, whether it be by rebellion or by neglect or by determined negativity, many Christians go days, weeks, could it be even months, without voicing praise to their God. I very well might be, it very well might be one of the greatest sins of omission that Christians are committing today, because we are commanded to praise the Lord. He that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. So number one, why should we praise the Lord? Why is it important? Because it's a command to praise the Lord. Number two, it changes our attitude and our outlook when we praise the Lord. I can help you right here. Psalms 9, verse 1 and 2, I will praise thee, O Lord, with my whole heart. I will show forth all thy marvelous works. I will be glad and rejoice in thee. I will sing praises to thy name, O thou most high. You see, folks, watch this. The act of praising the Lord has a transforming power in our lives. It results in inner gladness, and that turns into outward rejoicing. A praising Christian is a happy Christian. A praising Christian becomes a singing Christian. Praise drives out negativity, destroys self-pity, delivers us from depression. Why don't we spend more time praising the Lord? Number three, it impacts the lost. It impacts the lost when we praise the Lord. What did the psalmist write? I waited patiently for the Lord, and he inclined unto me and heard my cry. He brought me up also out of an horrible pit, out of the miry clay, and set my feet upon a rock and established my goings. He hath put a new song in my mouth, even praise unto our God. What's the result? Many shall see it in fear and shall trust in the Lord. 1 Peter 2:9, but ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, that ye should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. Folks, watch this. In a sinful and sorrowful and sulking world, nothing does a better job of pointing others to Jesus Christ than a happy, victorious, praising Christian. God commands us to show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. When you choose to praise the Lord, the Bible says, many will see it in fear and shall trust in the Lord. What are you saying, preacher? A praising Christian will see more people saved than a pouting Christian. The best advertisement for the gospel is a smile on your face, a song on your lips, a victorious, transformed believer who brings positivity to each day and freely offers praise to his Savior for every good thing that happens. Here's the question again. Why don't we praise the Lord more than we do? Most of you that's been saved, you're not learning these things. I'm just reminding you of what you've already read. You already know. Why don't we praise the Lord more than we do? Here's the answer to the question. We don't praise the Lord because we don't have a plan to praise the Lord. We should praise the Lord on purpose. Not like David. He was a very charactered man, very diligent man. And you know what? He planned his life. The reason I believe that David was a man after God's own heart is he did not constantly commit sins of omission. When he knew to do good, he did it. Instead of knowing to do good and doing it not and it being counted as sin in his life. So David was able to make this statement. Hey, you know what? This praise thing, I don't get behind in it. 7 times every day I praise the Lord. You don't mean every day? Yeah, every day. Well, how do you know to do that? I plan to do it. It's in my schedule. I do it on purpose. Okay, how about that? And what if we came up with a plan that would help us to know and be reminded to praise the Lord 7 times a day? Well, what would be really neat is if you had a pastor that came up with a plan that he would share with you and that you could buy into and do it and learn to smile and learn to be happy and learn to be victorious. Can I say this? Away with the negativity. Sometimes I drowned in it at Blessed Hope Baptist Church. Stop it! Not everything's bad. I know every life has some problems and some challenges, but good night, are you going to let those things define you? For every one problem you have, you've got 1,000 blessings if you turn around. I say this all the time. I watch Christians trample an acre of daisies to point out a weed. Why don't we just learn to praise the Lord? You can do it. You can do it 7 times a day. How do you do that? Well, let's plan it out for tomorrow. Number one, praise the Lord every morning. First thing, when you wake up, praise him that you've been given another day. I think before you get off of your bed, you ought to just say, well, praise the Lord. This is the day which the Lord hath made. We will rejoice and be glad in. I'm talking about a bed decision before your feet hit the floor. This is my mentality. God didn't have to give me this day. He gave me this day. I get another day of life. This is the day that he hath made. Here's my attitude. We will rejoice and be glad in it. Do this when you first wake up in the morning. You say, preacher, that's not when I'm in my bed still. Okay, when you do eventually wake up, that second cup of coffee kicks in, then all of a sudden go, hey, praise the Lord. Woo, this is the day that the Lord hath made. Woo, me and my caffeine will rejoice and be glad in it. Thank him for the strength and the health he's given you to take on another day. I'm going to help some of you right here. I said, thank him for the strength and health he has given you to take on another day. Oh, preacher, let me tell you about my health. Listen, I don't have 2 hours, okay? I'd like to sit and listen to every nuance of every challenge that you have. But you know what? Can I help you with something? That's your problem. You're focusing on the 2 or 3 things that are wrong in your body, and you're refusing to thank God for the 100 things that are right in your body. No, I just gave some of you a way to start praising God. Now, some of you aren't going to like this message. I'm taking every excuse away. You mumblers and grumblers. I mean, I know you're already mad at me, but you're going to be madder because listen to me. Well, preacher, I have a health issue. Yeah, you've got healthy issues too. Preacher, I got diabetes. Can you see? Well, preacher, I have trouble walking. Can you still walk? Preacher, I get headaches. Can you hear? Can you speak? Woo! You know what? I talked to older folks and I said, what's ahead for me? And they're like, well, this is how it works. I mean, I do the research. I want to prepare myself when I'm in my 70s and 80s. So I said, how's this whole thing work? And they were like, well, in the morning, you wake up And then you start at your head and you work down and you see what's working and what's not that day. And then once you figure out, you get up, you try to walk, and you figure out what parts of your body's working and what's not going to work that day. And then you plan your day accordingly. All right. I'm going to do this much this day because these parts are working and this part isn't. And hey, young people, hey, you know, I can't even imagine people living like you. Ought to thank God every day for your youth and your strength and your health. Okay, you know what? I don't know of anybody in here that doesn't have some kind of health challenges. There may be a handful that, you know, you've got perfect health. I mean, absolutely, you're just perfect health. And if that's your case, man alive, you ought to be shouting the loudness every single morning. Thank you, God, not only for a day, but for the strength and the health to tackle what I need to tackle. But almost everybody, or a lot, at least those of us on the second half of this thing called life, there's something. You know what I've figured out? I can spend my life focusing on that. And anytime somebody asks me, how you doing? You know, next time somebody asks you, how you doing? Why don't you do this? I can see. I can see. I can walk. Why is it we go right to the negativity? How are you doing? They didn't say, what is wrong with you? But when they say, how you doing? We go right to what's wrong with us. Come on, folks. You know what that is? Come on. We can get some help here. That's because we do not discipline ourselves to praise the Lord. Why isn't our first inclination to talk about the positive things, because that is what brings praise to the Lord? Well, you know, our problem really is a praise problem. Okay? We want to go to negativity because we want self-pity. We don't want self-pity. We have plenty of that. We want other people to join in our self-pity. Now, I'm not saying you never share a problem or an issue or a prayer request. You know, I'm all for that. But if that has defined your life, you really need to take a look and turn this thing around and change what you're doing and how you're thinking. Because based on what comes out of your mouth, lost people around you think that God is not good. How much evidence have you given the lost around you that God's good? I'm talking about learning how to praise the Lord. It starts when you wake up in the morning. Praise God. Ask God to help you to live the day for Him, to help others. Lord, thank you for a day. You didn't have to give me this day of life. I've got another day to live. Help me to look for ways to be a blessing. Help me to look for other people to help. Help me to accomplish what you need me to do today. So let's praise the Lord on purpose. Praise the Lord every morning that He's given you another day of life. Number two, praise the Lord every morning for the Bible you possess. And when you wake up, it triggers the first praise. Now tell me you're going to read your Bible before you go out into this world. It's so important to have morning devotions. If you'll start your day in this book, you'd be surprised how much has changed your attitude for the whole rest of the day. But when you pick up the Bible, once you're awake and before you rush out into the day, when you pick up that Bible, before you even open it, why don't you just praise the Lord? You know, folks, there's been a lot of bloodshed. People burned at the stake. Christians gave their lives so that we could have this book right here. And you know what? I think we ought to just pick it up. There's countries that don't, listen, there's countries and there's languages where they do not even have the Bible in their language. They do not have the Bible in their language. Some organizations working hard, Bible translators working hard, trying to identify these people groups and these languages and translate the Bible for the first time in their language. They give testimony to the fact that they'll get one book done and they'll print it. They usually start with the book of John or Romans or a combination of the two. They will print that. They will take it to that country. And those people for the first time hold the Word of God in their hand and read it in their own language and weep as they read it. Come on, Americans. Praise the Lord. When you pick up the Bible before you give your devotions, just stop and say, thank you, Lord. Thank you that I have a copy of the Word of God. Thank you that you've preserved it. Thank you that I can trust every word. Thank you, dear God, for the strength it gives me. Help me as I read it. Thank you. Praise God. I have a Bible. Amen. So Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Every morning, praise the Lord for your Bible. Number three, praise the Lord every day for saving your soul. For saving your soul. Now, sometime in the middle of your devotions, you're going to read something that ought to trigger a little bit of praise when it comes to your salvation. I think that the people who do not ever get over being saved are the happiest Christians that I know. God did not have to save me. I could have been born in a country that doesn't have a Bible. You know, folks, they estimate that 20% of the world's never even heard the name of Jesus. Never even heard the name of Jesus. They have no idea who he is. They don't know the God of the Bible. Here I was born in America. Good night. Folks, there's churches all over the place. We've got Bibles laying everywhere. And thank God. Thank God. Come on, I say, preacher, you tell this story so many times. I could tell your salvation testimony. Why can't I tell yours? Well, I don't give you the pulpit time for one thing, but come on now. Why can't I tell yours? Man, you ought to be telling your testimony every single day to somebody. Don't ever get over getting saved. You know what? The psalmist wrote in Psalms 71:23, my lips shall greatly rejoice when I sing unto thee, and my soul which thou hast redeemed. You don't know how many times before I leave the house, I think back to the Rock Run Baptist Church, I think back to the Purcells, and our next door neighbors started inviting my mom and dad. Listen, I was born into a family that was lost without Christ, unchurched. God miraculously allowed my mom and dad to move across the street to Christian neighbors who came over and started inviting us to church. And you know what? We showed up at the Rock Run Baptist Church. Thank God my daddy got saved. My mom got saved. My older sister, well, I don't know about it. She says she did. I could give you evidence otherwise. And my older brother got saved. My younger brother got saved. And there came a day where I got saved. I sat in that church and the Holy Spirit and the Word of God combined together in my young heart, and it didn't happen all in one service, a little here and a little there. And I say this often, children's workers, don't get discouraged. I believe the reason that I understood the gospel at a young age was because not so much Brother Evans, and I know God used Brother Evans in my life, but his dear wife that would take us children back there and take the Word of God and take the story of salvation and put it down on a level where children could understand it. Thank God for Mrs. Evan. Thank God for Holy Spirit conviction. Thank God for that walk down an altar. Thank God for the old Romans road. Thank God that whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Praise the Lord every day for your salvation. Number four, praise the Lord every day for food, clothing, and shelter he's provided you. Say, when what will trigger this? See, I believe David, he let things trigger praise in his life. Okay, you wake up, you look, the sun's up, or it's not. You get up, you wake up, you realize this is the day that the Lord hath made. You let waking up trigger praise. You let waking up trigger praise. You go over, you pick up your Bible. You let picking up your Bible trigger praise. When you read the Bible, you are reminded of a Savior, and you stop and you let the Word of God trigger praise for your salvation. You know what? Then you go to the breakfast table. You know what? I think there is three meals a day, three times, that we ought to just stop and do a little praise. Amen. I mean, folks, tell me, please tell me. Come on, I know some of you are new Christians. I just want to help you if you're not doing this. But please tell me you're not sitting down at a table in front of your children and eating food without stopping the family before you touch anything and say, let's thank the Lord for what he's provided for us. And you know what? That prayer of thanksgiving is a prayer of praise. And you know what? You ought to just take a moment every single time you go to the dinner table, every time you enjoy a meal together as a family, you ought to just make sure, hey, get those little babies, get a hold of their hands, let the circle be unbroken, by and by, Lord, by and by, sit at that table. You can't do that if they're eating in their room and one of them's eating in the family room and one of them's eating over in front of the video game and one of them's over here. Get the family around the table. Around the table. Get a hold of each other's hands. Daddy, show the way, lead the way in this. And just stop a minute. Maybe, and by the way, maybe before you pray, you don't have to do this, but be tender to the Spirit of God. The reason you're going to raise negative children if you are setting the example in front of them of negativity. You better hear me. You better listen to what I'm saying. You're going to raise negative children if all they hear coming out of your mouth is negativity. But you can raise praising children. Maybe daddy every once in a while say, hey, before we pray, let's praise. Tell me what you're thankful for. Tell me something you're thankful for. Tell me something you're thankful for. Tell me. Listen, folks, come on now. You've got to create the environment of praise. Do it on purpose. Do it on purpose. Well, you're going to thank the Lord for the food. So go ahead and thank the Lord for the home that he's given you and for the clothes on your back. Folks, these are the things that God has promised to provide for us. And you know what? He said, if you have food and raiment, you ought to be there with content. And you ought to be there with thankful. I think there's three times a day that's just built in automatically. We bow our head and we're thankful for the food, the clothing, the shelters provided us. Number five, praise the Lord every day for being allowed to live in America. Say, so, preacher, what do you use to trigger this in your life? Well, what I do is I look... I like to look for these things, and I notice things. Okay, when I'm driving, I notice a lot of things. I'm always looking around. But aren't you glad you live in a part of the country where a lot of people still display the American flag? Man, I'm coming around the curve there, coming from Shacamack State Park, and I get on that stretch. And if you've ever come from that direction, about the time you pass Casey's and you're heading towards the post office on the left, if you look ahead, there's several large flags being flown on the main street of Jasonville. And there's hardly ever a day that I don't go down that. And you know what? I'm thankful that people are taking the American flag and displaying them in their homes and displaying them in their houses. Can I get some men to bring the wheelchair in? Why don't we bring the wheelchair in just real quick? Wait till they get the wheelchair. Let's pray for Brother John. Heavenly Father, Lord, thank you for Brother John. Lord, we love him. Lord, I watch him make a great effort to be here at church, and it blesses this preacher's heart. I just pray, Lord, that you'll take good care of him even now, Lord. We trust you to do so in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Brother Eric. I'm glad Brother Eric's here. I'm glad we have other people in our church trained to take care of these situations, so that's a blessing. Wow. So I come around Main Street, and I see those flags. You know, I said this, and you do, you know, I'm not the Patriot police. But boy, I wish I could get every Christian American to display the red, white, and blue flag, the American flag, at your house, in your home. It doesn't cost that much to get one of those kits. Good night. We've given them away here at the church. Matter of fact, we probably got a few back there somewhere. If you need one, go see my wife. If we don't have one, she'll buy it for you. And so... You know, I love it. I know it's the 4th of July week, and that's proper, and that's good, and I'm thankful that people display it on purpose on the holidays, but I'm telling you this, as long as the weather's fine, I think the flag ought to be flown. Can I rant just for a second here? You know, I know, but I've spent so much time praising, I've got to balance it out a little bit, all right? And so, you know what? And I'm going to get myself in trouble here. But I think that we are crossing lines and going too far when it seems like there's more days that our flag is flown at half mast than it is fully flown. That used to be reserved in our country for national. I mean, folks, something big had to happen. I mean, a president had to die, and now it's become a political tool. And I'm not saying that the reason that's little things. Hey, tragedy is a tragedy. If it affects you, I get this. But you know what? We're feeding the victim mentality. And I promise you this. Somewhere in the nation, every day, a tragedy occurs of some kind. But after a while, we should not spend every day lowering our flag to half mast. Excuse me. Again, this is feeding the victim mentality. It is. Man, let that thing fly. Get it up there and let it fly. We have flags displayed, so we have, Brother Young has this. My wife has it on her phone, a reminder, some outfit that buzzes their phone and tells them when, you know, it's been issued from our government that we're supposed to put it on a half mast. That thing, good night, is going off all the time. So there, I vented. Now I'm going to go back to praising, amen. I like to see old glory flying high. Okay? Francis Key Scott wrote that. He wasn't writing it about a flag that was at half mast. He wrote that song about a flag that was flying high despite the attacks, despite the tragedy that was occurring. The flag was flown high. Folks, listen to me. I'm glad to be an American. I praise God that God let me be born in the United States of America. We are blessed to live in a nation that was founded on Christian principles. George Washington said, "It is the duty of all nations to acknowledge the providence of Almighty God, to obey His will, to be grateful for His benefits, and humbly to implore His protection and favor." Imagine a modern-day president saying something like that. President Dwight D. Eisenhower, "The Bible is endorsed by the ages. Our civilization is built upon its words. In no other book is there such a collection of inspired words and wisdom." Abraham Lincoln said this, "I believe the Bible is the best gift that God has ever given to men. All the good from the Savior of the world is communicated to us through this book." President Grover Cleveland said, "All must admit that the reception of the teachings of Christ results in the purest patriotism, in the most scrupulous fidelity to public trust, in the best type of citizenship." I love what Patrick Henry said. "It cannot be emphasized too strongly or too often that this great nation was founded not by religionists, but by Christians, not on religions, but on the gospel of Jesus Christ. For this very reason, people of other faiths have been afforded asylum, prosperity, and freedom of worship." What I'm saying is this, folks, we are blessed to live in the country that we are. It was founded on Christian principles. Two more. Number six, praise the Lord every day for the family that God has given you. For the family that God has given you. I'm going to tell you how you can fix a lot of marriage problems right here, and a lot of turmoil that's going on in your home, and a lot of problems with your children right now. You know what? You establish in your home an attitude of praise and thankfulness for the family that God has given you. Listen, husbands, you ought to say to your wives regularly how thankful that you are. That you are, that she is your wife. You know what? You ought to praise the Lord for your wife. Praise the Lord for your husband. Praise the Lord for your children. I mean, thank the Lord for your parents. Thank God for your grandchildren. Thank God for your grandparents. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord for the family that God's given you. And let me say this in closing. Praise the Lord every day for the church God has given you to attend. Do this as the Lord brings your church family to mind. You know, I'm so thankful for the prayer chain. Sister Carla's done a great job of just getting, I can send something to her and she gets that started. If you're not on the prayer chain and you're not getting updates from your church family, if you go see Sister Carla English, she'll make sure that she works that out so you can be updated. But I'm going to tell you something. I'm glad for that ministry because, I mean, weekly and sometimes daily, there's opportunities to be reminded of things that are going on in my church family's life. And I not only pray for them, but I always thank God for that person, that they're a part of our church. You know what? When you come on Sunday, just sit around and spend a little bit of time looking at the other families that have collected that to this place, that God's brought to this place, and just say in your heart, "Lord, thank you for bringing that family to our church. Thank you for bringing that young lady to our church. Thank you for bringing that young couple to our church. Thank you for that senior saint and their example of faithfulness." Folks, listen to me. We can choose if we want to be grumblers and mumblers, but we choose it. Because it's not like there aren't things that we can praise God for. We choose it if we are that way. I want to praise the Lord for the ministries God's allowed us to have here at Blessed Hope Baptist Church. Folks, I don't know all that's going to transpire in heaven, all that we're going to be able to see when we can see on the other side of glory. But I'm going to tell you what, I believe the miracle, one of the miracle ministries of Blessed Hope Baptist Church has been the bus ministry all these years. Listen, I'll knock on a door and they won't be able to place our church. I'll say, we're Blessed Hope Baptist Church, Jaceville. Well, where exactly is that? And you're trying to tell them where it's at. And finally you just say, you see those red and white buses? Oh yeah, I know your church. I know your church. For all these years, thank you, bus workers. Thank you for those that are out visiting. Thank you, drivers that are driving buses. Thank you, teenagers. I know you're clear in Arizona, but thank you, so many of you that ride buses and work on buses. Thank you, ladies that have little children. And man alive, you think about this. They're getting the kids ready hours before most people are even up to get to start the process. And they're bringing these kids over here, their little children over here, and carrying them sometimes half asleep on the bus at 7:30 in the morning to take off because they care about young people whose parents aren't going to bring them to church. Somebody's going to care. Oh, praise the Lord for the bus ministry. Praise the Lord for the nursing home ministry. You know, Brother Mrs. Klein came to me the other day in the nursing home they've been serving in for how many years, Brother Klein, did you say? 13 years, they closed down that nursing home. And, you know, I thought, when he told me that, I drove by the next time, they got boards on, they're redoing it, turning it into something else. And I thought, 13 years, they practice pure religion. And that's just one of six nursing home ministries that we have right now, where somebody from Blessed Hope's walking in at least once a month, and sometimes several times a month, and ministering to a forgotten group of people. Man, I'm going to tell you something. That makes me happy. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. I want to praise the Lord for the souls that have been saved, Blessed Hope Baptist Church. I talked to our VBS volunteers, and I said something to them. And I said, you know what? We haven't kept accurate numbers. And it's a guesstimation estimation. I think a lowball estimation. But, you know, I'm not talking about the 46-year history. I'm talking about the 25 years I've been on staff here. I can say confidently that we've seen over 700 young people saved in our vacation Bible school in the last 25 years. I couldn't even guess how many if you go back all 46 years. I have no doubt it's over 1,000 young people. Now, think about that. When we get to heaven, because folks said, I'll take some time off. I'll take a week off. I'll volunteer. I'll sign up. I'll bake cookies. I'll drive a bus. I'll teach a class. I'll sit along I call them VBS bouncers. I'll sit along the wall there and make sure the kids are behaving. I'll dress up and put on silly skits, and I'll run into the door that's propped open and hit myself in the head. Knock myself out. Our VBS is so violent. It really is. I got to think about this. We had a teenager who got a tooth knocked out in a skit VBS. I mean, lost a front tooth. Got knocked out in a VBS skit. That was awesome. That was awesome. Me and Brother Reiser once were fighting up here with real swords, you know. And we really didn't think it was real smart, but it sounded so cool. We tried the fake ones, you know, and you didn't have the sound. We made all the teenagers use rubber swords, but we're up here with real swords. It was awesome until he went backwards and sliced some kid open on the arm. Just a few stitches. He was fine. And then we got Samuel, you know, the door of the pyramid opens, and he's up here, and he turns around. He's so tall. Bam! I'm sitting right over there. I seen him turn to run, and I went like, and there's nothing you can do except watch. And if you're going to watch, you might as well enjoy, you know. And man, he hit, and I literally went against the wall like this. It sounded like someone took a bat. He hit the floor, and by the way, jumped right back up, stayed in character, ducked this time, went in. You see, I mean, he saw that goose egg afterwards. Man alive, he had this egg on his forehead, you know. But say, why are you doing this crazy? Did you hear what I said? Over 1,000 young people. It's been good. We're going to have baptism, I think, again this morning. Brother Jeffrey, did he leave with his dad? Okay. I got a yeah and a no. Okay. Well, I think we've got a baptism this morning. Isn't that awesome? Have you seen the baptismal waters being stirred? Let's praise. Well, preacher, it's not perfect. I know, and you're an expert on the list of everything that should be done differently. Thank you. Thank you. I mean, Sunday morning, I'm getting ready, but you're going to make sure that I know about a problem. Thank you. I mean, come on, folks. You've got to decide. We all think it's the circumstances of life, or it's people, or it's whatever. The honest truth is, it's a decision. I doubt if there's very few people in this church that have more heartache than me and my wife have. But you just don't hear about it all the time. So you think we don't. Okay, I'm not diminishing yours. I know now some of you want to get a list down so you can prove that you have more heartache than anybody. I can't save you from that. But God can. And you think about David, a man after God's own heart. Why all the reasons? We could go through that. But I think one of the major reasons was this. God woke up, or didn't wake up. When David woke up every morning, I think God leaned over the banister and said, I sure am going to enjoy listening to David today. Because you know what I know I'm going to hear? First thing in the morning, this is the day that the Lord hath made. Thank you, God. You gave me another day. I'm going to rejoice. I'm going to be glad in it. I think when David handled the pages of the Bible, tears ran down his face. Read Psalms 119. David had a love affair with the Word of God. A love affair with the Word of God. God. And I think God just looked down and said, I just wish everybody loved my book like that. I don't think David sat down at a table to eat where he didn't stop and praise the Lord. I think David, come on, the record is there in the Psalms. You can read it, how many times he stops and praises the Lord for redeeming his soul. What I'm saying is this, David said this. He could say it confidently 7 times a day. I praise the Lord. Well, how do you remember to do that? Because I purpose it. There's things that happen in the day that happens every day. And guess what? It triggers in me praise. It triggers in me praise. I look at those things that happen and they remind me that it's a good thing to praise the Lord. Let's bow our heads for a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, Lord, I ask, dear God, that you'd use this scriptures, Lord, use the Bible to help us, to train us to be people of praise. Now, Lord, I mentioned about praising the Lord for saving my soul. And there was a day, Lord, I couldn't praise you for that because I wasn't saved. And there may be somebody here, they've listened to what I've preached, and maybe there's a part of them that says, you know what, I wish I had that level of happiness. I wish I had that relationship with God. I wish I was saved. I wish I knew for sure I was on my way to heaven. I wish I had somebody that could help me face the difficulties of life, change my sorrowing into a song. I pray, Lord, if there's anyone here without Jesus Christ as their Savior, that today would be the day of their salvation. And Lord, may your sweet Holy Spirit convict us. Lord, you deserve to be praised much more than you're being praised. I pray, Lord, that some of us would take that as a challenge. Decide that we're going to spend time every day praising the Lord. Let's stand with our heads bowed and our eyes closed.